This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. Brought to you by the Water Innovations Foundation, solving the world's water problems through technology. Learn more at waterinnovations.org.
Welcome back to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. I'm Ann Carrick, of course. Vincent is on the phone line with us. And we're on the topic today of manufacturing in the U.S. And so in addition to Vincent on the phone, also joining us is Burke Dorr from Trump, worldwide leader in machine tools and laser technology. So, Burke, thank you for being with us this evening.
That's right, Burke.
Hey, Vince, Burke. How are you? Good evening, Ann.
Excellent. And Burke's from Trump.
What did I said Trump.
Oh, I know you did. A lot of our listeners, I always have to say it harder because so many people, when he introduces himself, they think he works for Trump.
Trump with an F at the end.
Yes.
Trump.
Yes. And now, Burke, you were one of the most enthusiastic and optimistic people I've ever met in regard to manufacturing in the U.S. Tell me why.
Because manufacturing's alive and well, despite what you read in the papers. It's changing. It's in the United States today, we're fortunate that so many people want it to customize their products. So that's led to small batches and high variation manufacturing. And there's thousands of small businesses from New York to California making components and parts using fairly sophisticated machine tools in what we call high batch, low volume or mid volume manufacturing, and that's just not talked about. And it's a shame because these companies are really doing well, and there are a lot of people working for them that are committed to making good quality products in the United States.
So your instruments are one of them is lasers, right?
That's correct.
So those lasers run. What is the range of how much those lasers cost?
Well, they can cost, you know, we have lasers that might cost $1 million, and we sell to a whole variety of different companies, including companies like John Deere and Case New Holland and medical companies and electronic companies, automotive companies. And I was listening to your prior segment, Ann, and we're talking about welding. What a lot of people don't realize is that you can use the laser to weld metal today. And you can create a better weld, a stronger weld, a much more of productive in terms of less downstream operations. But it takes a good quality machine and a good laser to do it. And that's what's really coming on in this country.
In addition to somebody who knows how to do it right.
Well, you need to have somebody who knows how to set up the machine and knows how to program the machine. The education is different today. You don't necessarily, we certainly need good welders doing more conventional welding, but over time, that kind of conventional welding is going to change because of the ability for companies like Trump, who build machine tools and lasers, to provide customers with a new process, a new way of joining metal together.
Right.
It's better than what we saw in the past. And it's phenomenal. I invite the two of you to come to Farmington up in near Hartford, right in the Farmington Valley, and see our laser welding machines at work today in Trump in Farmington, making components for our machines.
Now, your sales are up this year.
That's correct.
And, you're selling to solar companies too, right?
That's right. We've obviously with the initiative in green energy, and again on your prior segment, we are strong proponents of green machines. We do that not because we're so committed about the environment. Of course we are, but we think it's a good incentive. It's a better profit for companies because of the efficiency that you can bring to bear with less energy costs. And so in the solar business, those companies are starting to come from some of them from Europe and plant their flag here in the United States, and especially with the exchange rate. I mean, can you imagine if you're a European company and you've got the advantage you have today with the euro?
Sure.
Instead of going to New York and staying at the Waldorf, you should come and go to New Mexico and build a factory. And that's exactly what people are doing in Europe. And that's a fabulous thing for the country. I know a lot of people don't like a weak currency. I'm certainly one of those proud of our country. But at the moment, the weak currency happens to be a benefit for manufacturing in America.
Which in the long run, even if the currency comes back, which we hope it will,
sure,
then the businesses are already here, and that huge upfront cost to get going, they were able to do at a lower rate, so that then we reap the benefits long term of having those businesses functioning here.
I had a meeting with a customer from Italy at JFK Airport two Sunday nights ago. He flew in from Milan, and he was connecting to go out to Arizona, and he's working on building a new factory out there with a number of other companies, and it was a thrilling experience because I was not just trying to provide him with the capital equipment necessary to get started, but I was really the usher into the United States, how to do business here. And I was, of course, very positive, Vince, as you say, because I do think that this country's got to have confidence in itself.
Right.
We've got awfully good people who are working hard in manufacturing. And unfortunately, they're not recognized for their job. And none of them really want to be recognized. They're like farmers who don't always complain about the weather. They don't really need to have a lot of publicity or PR because they just as soon keep going. And
they just want to keep doing their job
and build a good product and deliver a good service. And Ed mentioned Iowa Laser. Iowa Laser has a person in their facility that knows how to weld parts that using Trump lasers. It's just, he's a genius. And anybody wants to go meet him, they should meet him. And he'd stand up to any kind of, person in an industry, whether or not they're on Wall Street or lawyers or doctors, in terms of his analytical ability.
Sure.
And it's fun to watch. It's fun for me to see. And it's just an untapped story in the United States.
So the institutional lag of media just keeps running out all these negative manufacturing stories,
right?
The decline of manufacturing. And it wasn't until I met you, I kind of got sucked into all those negative articles.
Right.
Well, because they're just counting manufacturing jobs lost, and so they're taking these big numbers of jobs that have disappeared, but it's not necessarily that manufacturing has gone away. Some of it is because it's changed, and so the jobs that existed before are not the same jobs that are there now. And as Ed was saying, there's still a need for certain people, but they may not be the same jobs that were lost, so it's not like those people can just go take the new jobs.
Right. We got to do some better in training. We got to train programmers and people who can really write code and understand how to planners in factories. But there will be a day in this country where you'll look out on a shop floor and you'll see a lot of different types of machines, some made by Trump, others made by our competitors, and create what we call touchless manufacturing. But to put that all together takes a workforce that knows how to manipulate and maintain sophisticated machines. And there's still a job creation there. Innovation leads to job creation.
Absolutely. You know, you said a couple things that I think are worth pointing out. One is, you mentioned it, capital equipment, that what Trump makes are really the machines that other manufacturing companies use to make the end product.
Correct.
Which I'm not sure everybody caught that. And the other one is that when you met with this man from Milan, that you were telling him all of the good reasons why he should and should want to do business in the United States. You know, your company has facilities in several places, Europe, North America, Asia, and you have, not you personally, but the company has chosen to stay in North America, in Connecticut, which of course is in the United States, for specific reasons or because you're already here?
Very specific reason. This is a large market, and the owners of Trump, the Leibinger family, it's a privately held company, are committed to manufacturing in the markets where they have the biggest potential for customers. And the United States is one of those markets. We still are have about a 15-20% share of the company's overall sales, and the overall sales, will approach $2 billion this year worldwide. And so we're in the United States also because we've got innovative engineers in Farmington who are thinking about the next device or process for improving our customers' profitability. What we're doing is trying to and convince customers that our machines will maintain their competitive edge in the United States. There are some, obviously the labor market is different here in terms of the wage between here and countries like India or Vietnam or China.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we can't compete, and we don't really need, all due respect to my good friend Ed, any manufacturing czars in the cabinet. We just need good policy with respect to R&D tax credits or lower taxes and for companies. We don't need higher taxes. We just need more taxpayers. And we get taxpayers by low taxes.
Right.
And believe me, Trump started with three employees in 1969, almost 40 years ago. A little over 40 years ago. Today we're over 550, and that's in Farmington. We have a plant in Cranberry, New Jersey, down in Princeton. We have a facility in Charleston, South Carolina, and we have a facility in Plymouth, Michigan. So we are in four states in the United States, and we have a workforce that is energized, and we have a high retention rate because of the nature of our business. It's an interesting business. It's,
right. And, Burke, we have like 30 seconds left. So I just want to make sure if you have something, what would be the message you'd like to leave with people? I know that you're saying less taxes, no czar. I know you guys are no need for a union there. So what's the parting message to tell people about manufacturing?
Contrary to what some of the political two parties want to talk about manufacturing, it's still the fifth largest economy in the world, in and of itself, in the United States, and it's I think it's thriving because of small businesses that are buying good equipment and remaining competitive across the world.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Burke. No trouble, Vince. Take care of yourself.
We need more Princeton men in manufacturing.
It's time for the news here at WICC.
Princeton man I ever met.